Greetings and welcome, fellow developers and technology enthusiasts, to this edition of the Technology Icing Podcast, where you possess the knowledge and we provide the icing to give you that edge in the market, to give you that split-second advantage to win the race when you develop solutions, when you present, when you work, when you deliver. And in this episode, we will be covering Docker, which allows you to package your software applications without worrying about their infrastructure. So what is Docker? Docker is a software package management container. So there's a concept called containers and there's a concept called images. Why do you need it? It is because you may be aware of virtual machines. Virtual machines, the concept is very simple. You have a host operating system and you allow multiple guests to sit on top of your hypervisor. If your host operating system is Windows, where it allows the guest OS to have Windows and its own application stack. So suppose if you have a 16 GB machine and you have 4 GB devoted to each machine, and in each of those 4 GB machines in the RAM, you will be allocating Windows Server to each one of them. There, Windows Server has been installed as a guest operating system, and you install application libraries, environment variables. But imagine if I give you something where you just have one operating system and you write infrastructure as a code. So you will achieve tremendous cost advantage, as you don't have to maintain each and every operating system, provide that patch of .NET code upgrade or environment variables of one impacting the other. No, we will provide every application without the need of a separate OS, their own file system, their own networking stack, their very own environment variables, their own installations. So the benefits are it accelerates developer onboarding because you can't complain, okay, it works in my local but does not work in the production. It eliminates application conflicts. Environment consistency there between the UAT, prod, pre-prod, developer environment, you can ship your software faster. These are the benefits of Docker. And you will realize that it simplifies building, running, and shipping of the apps. It's open, lightweight, and a secure platform. It runs natively on Linux or Windows or on Mac machines. And it relies on concepts called images and container. So you may ask, what is an image or what is a container? Image is nothing but something like a class where you define a blueprint. But when the class has been instantiated in the memory, it's called an object. So similarly, a running image is called a container. So what can an image contain? An image can contain many layers. For example, you may have a thin layer called Alpine, which is 1 MB Linux. Or you may have an image called .NET Core or just Java image. And then on top of it, you can layer multiple things like Redis-ish or Postgre. And you can keep layering your images and make a wonderful cake called the So you can make a custom image for your application. Your application code can also be a part of that same image. And then when your image is running, which is also consisting of multiple layers, it gets a thin read write layer, and that a running image can be called as a container. Now, what are the various pains that the current application developers experience? You have different version of various tools. Oh, that person has installed a different version of Java. It's impacting my application. You know that when you have an IIS container or Tomcat container, you try to run multiple web apps. So you save on the cost because you can't afford to buy a new machine for every application. That will just escalate the cost. So imagine you're each and every app is individual. It has nothing shared. Even though it is shared, but to your app, your C drive will appear as empty or your D drive will appear as empty. And the process, you know, some application is using 8080 port, but you try to use the 8080 port in some other app and then it stops all of a sudden because the port is occupied by some other app. No, no more port conflicts. You can give your separate networking stack to your application. We don't use a band-aid solution. Sometimes you may blame some other app for writing too much logs or filling up your memory. No, you individualize it. You can also provide it with your own volume, which you can persist after the app has been destroyed, or you can even choose to destroy it as soon as the app has been destroyed. So how do you define an image? An image is nothing but a list of instructions where you write infrastructure as a code, where you may mention that from the Node.js base image, you can copy the current working directory of the code or some of the source files, and you can do an npm install and expose and run npm server js and expose 8080 port. You can mention volume, environments, and all that in a single Docker file, and then you can give simple instructions like Docker run with your application name. You have to just do Docker pull, the name of the app that you have written, and you can write things like Docker run. You can also check whether your application is running or not with Docker PS, and you can ensure that your app is running within a few seconds. There are some tool sets that Docker needs. If you're installing in Windows Enterprise, you just need the Docker Community Edition. And if you're installing in Windows 10 Home or maybe Windows 7, you may have to install Docker Toolbox, which provisions you a small virtual machine to run Docker instances. Then the person running your images should just install a Docker client, which actually just makes REST or API kind of calls to the Docker server. So irrespective whether it's Linux, Windows or Mac, the client commands are the same: Docker pull, Docker run, Docker images, Docker PS. You can also mention the port that it is internally exposing, but you can mention a different outside facing port, for example, the customer facing port. Now, what if you want your Docker to not just run on a single machine, but a swarm of machines? So for that, a Docker swarm has been introduced. A Docker swarm is nothing but a group of machines joined as a cluster. So you can have some kind of SLA defined. For example, that you need two machines running load balanced in a specific way that allows your app to be up and running and be resilient. So you can take in concurrent requests. So each machine is called as a node, and you have something called as a swarm manager, which manages membership and delegation of services to the workers, your swarm workers, which actually execute tasks that are defined or delegated to the swarm worker. Now, you may be very intrigued by some of the Docker run commands that you come across on the internet. For example, you may have something like Docker run your app name, expose the port, something like your inside port is this, your outside port is that, and make sure you do a container linking. So your Docker run command can be massive. So in order to reduce that, you need to come out with something called as Docker Compose. It is a YML file, a YAML format, where you define your group of services, network, volumes, and each of them will define the individual environment variables, what is the context, what is the corresponding Docker file, what is the corresponding network. So for example, you may have a service with your app Node, MongoDB, Redis, and there's another YAML file that you can mention for your Docker Swarm. Docker in an enterprise generally has a lot of offerings. For example, they have the Docker Trusted Registry. Generally, when you make your application images, you wish to publish something called as Docker Store or Docker Hub. You even pull the official images from Microsoft Node.js. You can actually know they are verified images. And you yourself can be a verified provider on Docker Hub or Docker Store. You can find most of the common technology stacks that people utilize for their application deployment for Node, Java, .NET. Microsoft has provided their official images where you can have .NET Core as your base image for your SDK, for your building. You can also have your own instance of Jenkins or own instance of monitoring. And all you have to do is include that as a new service within your Docker Compose file. But what if you want to have your own Docker Store, Docker Hub, so that you don't want to publish your apps to the public because you are in a big enterprise. So you maintain something called as Docker Trusted Registry, which is enterprise grade image management solution, something like Docker Store, but within your organization. And you don't have to remember the Docker service commands. When you have a Docker service, you write a simple instruction called Docker Compose Up. It will bring up the entire stack of your services, download all necessary images. Generally, when you write Docker, it's typically less than 500 MB if you're making on a very small kind of application stack, for example, Node or .NET Core. You don't have to download the entire OS or something, but when it runs as if it's running its own OS without the OS. Sometimes you may be intrigued by what is running, what are the various nodes that have been spun up, and what services are there, what networks are there. For that, you can use something called as a UCP, which is a Universal Control Plane. And with everything going to GitHub, open source, which I do heavily recommend, you may wonder about how do you manage secrets. Well, there is an open source tool called HashiCorp Vault, which enables you to store secrets as for not just applications running within Docker, but also for applications running outside Docker. It manages secrets. You can access your secrets by using an API. All of them are sealed, and it has to undergo either user authentication, machine level authentication. You can define policies, okay, that only these kinds of keys can be accessed by this kind of developers. These UAT or dev machines can access these kinds of secrets. And then you can also audit them, who accessed what. So you can create an application, get and post secrets, maintain policy, have a finer grain policy, define applications and role and operations and contracts on the kinds of information. It not just maintains key value stores, it also maintains certificates or rotations. So it can easily interact with Azure Key Vault or AWS Key Store system. And it's fully encrypted. Sometimes you can also define some complicated policies like, okay, you need to have like a conference or a meeting where 14 or 15 people get together and share the shared Shamir secret, and then only the entire list of secrets can be unlocked. Like you can get to that kind of fine-grained granularity. Generally, when you have a secret, you have to consume it. So typically you would provide a token in your environment variable in your application, and the particular user who's running that machine can either undergo Active Directory authentication or some OpenID authentication like Facebook, Google, or something that you have developed in-house by ThinkTecture. And you have Visual Studio extensions, VS Code extensions. Also APIs available for each and every programming language like C#, Java. And so you can protect your application secrets by still going to open source. It also has a UI to manage and maintain it. So hope this kind of information has... So hope you have gleaned something and learned something from this podcast. Hope you utilize in your industry. For more information, look at the show notes and look at the links that I have pointed out. A very good resource that I have come across are the Plural Site Library for Docker. That's it. It's me, Karan Bhandari, signing off. Karan Bhandari is a developer in society general and has worked in numerous banks through Infosys like Bank of America, ANZ, NAB, Westpac, and Commonwealth Australia. This is me signing off. You can access me on youtube.com/kurtzace or linkedin.com/in/kurtzace, KURTZACE, or hit me up on Twitter @KURTZACE, kurtzace. Goodbye.